Our epistle lesson for today comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Hear now the word of our Lord. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has his hope in Him purifies himself, just as He, that would be Jesus, is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and that in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Then we turn to our gospel reading in the book of Luke. In chapter 24, starting with 36, reading to 48. Jesus appears to His disciples. While they were still talking about this, and what they're talking about is, they are talking about the two that saw Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So the two disciples had this encounter. And don't you recall that when Jesus was walking, when the two disciples who had left Jerusalem were they're on their way to one of their homes in Emmaus, suddenly a third traveler was encountered on the road, and they asked him to join them as they walked down the road. And the two of them were talking about all the things that had occurred over the last few days, that is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and finding His tomb to be empty. And He said, what are these things you're talking about? And they said, are you the only one who doesn't know what's been going on here? And they went on to tell Him. And of course, we recall that when they were invited Him to eat, that suddenly, after telling them all the things about the Scriptures and opening their eyes to understand how Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection were predicted by the Scriptures, that they suddenly understood and were allowed by the Spirit to see that this in fact was Jesus. So here they are in this room, these two, and Jesus appears to them. He stood among them and said, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands, my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And this is the word of the Lord. We got to read the rest of this one. We got to read the rest of this. Leave off these last verse. "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." That's a very important verse. Can't leave that out, even though the lectionary says that's not included. Because this scripture is often misunderstood. A lot of people believe that when Jesus opened their eyes to see the scripture, that he had given them the Holy Spirit. And that is not what has occurred here. Jesus has allowed them, he has removed the veil. He has removed the veil that God has put upon them to allow them to now see and understand what the old scripture has taught them. And we know that that is not when they receive the Holy Spirit, because in verse 49 it says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city till you have been clothed with power from on high." So he didn't give them already the Holy Spirit. What he did, in fact, was he opened their eyes and their minds so that they could understand the scripture. Last Sunday was a Sunday that everybody talks about doubting Thomas. But here we show that even after two of them had encountered him on the road to Emmaus, when he comes into the presence with their standing with everybody else, they didn't say, "There he is. See, I told you he's alive." Why didn't that happen? Isn't that kind of curious? That even the two that had encountered him on the road to Emmaus weren't absolutely sure that that was Jesus Christ. And then we have this verse in here that says, "And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement." They did not believe it, but they were amazed and they were filled with joy. This is a case of truly something that is too good to be true. This is a case where they see and they believe, but yet it's so far beyond their ability to comprehend that they still can't understand it. Now, it wasn't like Jesus hadn't prepared for this. He raised the son of the lady from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. They knew that he could raise people from the dead. They knew that he had the power of God to raise people from the dead. Now, Lazarus they knew well, and he was a friend. The young boy that was restored to life, a young man, actually, he wasn't a boy. You remember that what happened was that this woman came to Jesus and told him that my son has died, and Jesus actually walks out and sees this woman mourning her son as they're carrying his body on some type of stretcher or something to the grave. And Jesus goes and has him raise up and walk. And as far as the scripture tells us, the disciples had never seen this guy before. They didn't know him. He had no relationship with them. Lazarus had a relationship with them, but probably not it wasn't like a family relationship. It was somebody they knew, because his sisters were followers of Jesus. But here is somebody that they knew, that they touched, that they ate with, that they slept with, that they walked from town to town for long stretches with, that they had seen people try to kill him. And here he was raised from the dead. And the scripture tells us a lot. Because of their joy and amazement, they couldn't believe it. Have you ever had something that just had occurred that you had wished and prayed for, and when it happened, you just couldn't believe that it actually came true, that it actually happened? People are critical of Thomas. Sometimes I've heard people be critical of the disciples for not believing, for not knowing. I don't really see this as a matter of, I don't see this as a matter of criticism, because I know that every word that is in this Bible is here for my and your benefit. It is here to teach us something that we absolutely must know. Understanding that, of course, means that if we don't read and study every word in the Bible, that we are giving up on information, passing by information, disregarding information that God has ordained that we know. So it's very important for us to over our lives to read and study every word in the Bible, because every word is there for a purpose. I presented a contract on a piece of property to some clients. In this case, I was representing both parties in this transaction, and the people looked at it and they said, "Well, we trust you, Bill. This sounds good. You know, where do we sign?" I said, no. "Now, I want you to take this home. I want you to look through it. I want you to make sure you understand it." I said, "The thing you have to know is there are no extra words in a contract." Those of you who've worked with contracts and legal things understand that. Every word in a contract is there for somebody's benefit, and it's important to understand what it is. Same thing's true in the Bible. There are no extra words in the Bible. So this was put here so that we would understand it. Over and over again, we show that the disciples were doubting that Jesus had been risen. The women came running to Peter. "We have seen the Lord. He is risen from the dead." What does the Bible say? The Bible says that they thought that the women were overwhelmed with anxiety or grief. I've got the word they used. That's essentially they were being irrational women. Okay. These two guys were telling them of their encounter of Jesus on the road to Damascus. And these guys are standing there. Yeah. I hear you. So why is the Bible doing this? The Bible is supposed to lift us up. The Bible is supposed to give me confidence in Jesus. The Bible is supposed to tell me, yes, He is true. It is true. It is true. And yet, here I see the very leaders, the ones who would be apostles, are having doubts. So why is that in the Bible? I mean, it's not like anyone in this room has ever had a doubt about God, about Jesus Christ, that there is life after death. I mean, nobody's ever had a doubt about that. So we wouldn't need to be taught about that, would we? Some of my favorite scripture in the Bible is when the man came and asked for healing for his son, asked that his son be healed and not allow him to die, and Jesus told the man, "Go home, your son is well." And the man said, "Thank you, Jesus, help me with my..." Jesus said, "If you believe, your son will be healed." And the man said, "I believe. Help me with my unbelief." And I certainly have found myself there wondering, you know, do I have this right? Is this true? Is it all true? Is it right? Is that the way it's supposed to be? What if I'm wrong? Don't you think that our Lord has a capacity, if he thought it was in your best interest, in my best interest, to give us complete, irrefutable proof of his existence, of the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was risen, and sits with on the right hand of God the Father, and is there to prevail on your behalf with the Father. Don't you think that if God thought that was in our best interest, if God believed that that is what we should have, that is what we would have? Now, I don't know why God has chosen to reveal himself in the way that he does. But I do know that God is fully present in the past, that God is fully present in the future, that God is fully present here at this moment, and knows everything in the past and the future that is to be from the very beginning. God talked about this over and over again in the Bible. He told the prophets what to say. He gave them the words. They accurately prophesied Jesus Christ coming, his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We were given these words that we read today so that we can understand that doubt is not sin, that questions are not bad, that not having a full understanding is okay. We live by faith. We believe in what we do not see. We trust in what we cannot touch. Otherwise, we would not be living in faith, but we would be living in fact. God has chosen to lead us to this through the Holy Spirit. God has chosen to give his proof through the Holy Spirit, given us those convictions, that certainty, that knowledge of him, that peace, that peace beyond understanding. This scripture, as the book of John says, is written so that you and I may believe and have faith and give witness to Jesus Christ. So when you give your testimony to someone you encounter, when you tell them about the difference that Jesus Christ makes in your life, tell them what you know to be true as given to you by the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to take over. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and allow yourself to speak in the Spirit. Allow yourself to speak and give witness to what you believe, to what the Spirit has given you to know. Don't argue this point for that point. Don't argue this history lesson for that history lesson. Don't argue this logic for that logic. Because Jesus Christ died for my sins. Jesus Christ went to the cross for my sin. Jesus Christ died because I can never stop being a sinner. Jesus Christ died for you and took your sins upon him to the cross. And Jesus Christ has risen from the dead for you, for me. That's what we know. And when you explain this to your children, to your grandchildren, to your neighbor, to this person who God has ordained, made themselves available to you to give witness to. And trust me, God does ordain and make people available for you to give witness to. Exactly when you don't expect it. You are prepared to speak without worrying about knowing every fact, without knowing, having to know every word in the Bible, without you having to be able to recite scripture, without you being able to prove to them beyond a doubt in a court of law the existence of Jesus Christ and the existence of God. You tell them what you know through the Holy Spirit. You tell them what a difference it makes in your life. You tell them what you have been given to believe through the Holy Spirit, through the workings of Jesus Christ in your life. Because having doubts is completely normal. Not being able to show bare facts to a court of law is completely normal. It's what God has ordained. We know through the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ works in our lives every single day. We know through the Holy Spirit what a difference Jesus Christ makes. We know through the Holy Spirit that He is our only hope. He is our salvation, and that when we die, that we will be risen with Him in the end time, and we will live together forever. Amen.